And thank you this morning. We thank you. We bring you our highest praise. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you, Lord. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide. Just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of love, I met a man I didn't know. He told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, he turned me around. We just fix our minds on you this morning. Fix our minds on the truth,
that you are alive. There was a death, a burial, and a resurrection, but Lord, you are alive. And let us never forget what you did just for us, so it would all be finished. Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? And were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. My Lord, were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
As we prepare for the offering this morning, ushers are going to come forward, and as part of our worship, we like to give. But I wanted to pray this Easter blessing over you this morning. May this Easter day bring resurrection life to my heart and home. May renewal radiate within you and revival emanate through you. May dawn displace the darkness and spring replace the winter in your life. May the God of hope so fill you with joy and peace this Easter that you may overflow with hope by the power of his life forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Resurrection life. Resurrection life, God. I pray it over every person in this room, every person in our family, every person in our community. We pray for resurrection life and resurrection hope. Thank you so much. much. Thank you, Heavenly Father. As we continue to worship, I just want to point out, if you're a guest with us, please don't feel any obligation as those offering buckets are passing. If you feel led to give, then give. But we just are glad that you're here. And thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And thank you for all your support with what God's doing in our community through our tithes and our offerings. Let's continue to worship this morning.
and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh,
we lift our voices, God.
Oh,
our honest worship. Sweet Spirit, Lord. Your mercies that are new every morning. Let us hear your voice calling to us. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Lord Jesus, we thank you today. We thank you that your sense of welcome and your call to us as sinners never ends. Your arms are always open. The invitation is always there, Jesus. We needed it when we came into this world. We need it every day of our life, no matter where we are on our spiritual journey. And we'll be listening for it when we enter into rest with you one day. Jesus, we give you praise and honor today that your resurrection brings cleanness to our uncleanness, brings righteousness to our unrighteousness.
It brings the future into the present, and it brings heaven to earth. We thank you for all that it means. We thank you that you changed everything for us. We love you, we worship you, we praise you today. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good Easter morning to everyone. It is good to see you today. And it is, I think you guys will agree, it is good to see that it is not 32 degrees outside, right? I was talking with Brandon Chenault this morning. We were talking about Northeast Texas Easter traditions and how normally we'll have either freezing temperatures or rain, rarely both and rarely neither, right? It's always one of those, but it is good to be here just to worship with you this morning and be here. If you are a guest this morning, and that's whether or not you're a guest because you decided to come or you're a guest because someone else decided that you were coming, you are welcome here today. We are glad you're here. We don't know the difference, and we're glad that you are here to worship with us today. Thankful that you are here with family and friends, and hopeful that you will discover some more when you're here. As we just continue to worship today and keep our minds and our hearts focused on Easter, we do have a few announcements we want to share with you and just look forward to breaking open the Word together this morning. If you are visiting with us, please do us a huge favor. Take a moment to just stop at our table in the lobby on your way out today where there will be smiling faces to greet you. We'd love to give you just a gift, let you know that we are glad to have you with us this morning and just be able to connect with you. Thank you and God bless you as we continue to enjoy this time together.
What's up, CF Paris? We are so excited that you're here with us today on this Easter service.
All right, guys, we are so glad you came to worship with us, whether it's during our 8:30 or our 10:30 service. We just want to remind you that normally we meet at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings right here at 3410. We have classes available for infants, toddlers, preschoolers, elementary school age, all the way up. We have a class for 5th and 6th graders. So please come back and join us.
We also want to let you know that we have all kinds of community groups here, men's, women's, all kinds. You can find them on our website listed, and you can even sign up for them there. Speaking of website, if you're interested in who we are and what we believe, you can also find that on our website.
All right, guys, and coming up, first-time guest, on the fourth Sunday, we have a new class for new attendees, new people that have been coming to church, people that have questions, so we will be getting more information rolling out to you about that, but just mark it on your calendars. It'll be the fourth Sunday in April. After service, I believe there's going to be a little lunch served. So, guests, that would be a perfect time to come find out about who we are. We would love for you to be there. And lastly, speaking of things we would love for you to be involved in, every year we host what we call VBX. We don't call it VBS because it's not school. We call it Vacation Bible Experience. And it is one of the funnest times we have all year. So please, if you have kids that are just, well, actually, we have it for preschoolers all the way through just finished fourth grade. Get your kids signed up. It is going to be the best time. We are going to have so much fun. So get signed up for that. I think that's all of our announcements. All right, guys. Pastor Corey's coming up next. Bye, y'all.
Yeah. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday to everybody. Come on. I wanted to go ahead and let everybody know next week, like they were saying, one service, 10 a.m. Even though the sun and the moon are disappearing. The only way we're not having church is if, like, very literally, all the people that they predict are coming, and we can't get out of our houses. And then we'll just worship in our houses. Look, guys, we're going to have church next week. It's going to be a great time. If you don't come, well, But when the eclipse does happen and God returns, I'm going to tell them that you weren't at church on Sunday. I'm kidding. Oh, it's not about that. It's about a great time with family, with friends. We're going to enjoy church just like we're going to enjoy Monday seeing what happens. Amen? That's next week. Today it's Easter, and I'm glad you're here. I am glad you're here. No matter whether you come to church twice a year or you're there every time the doors are open, no matter whether you've completely run from God, maybe don't even believe in God, or whether you're leaning into Him now more than you ever have, today my prayer is that Christ would be revealed to you in a fresh, new, and invigorating way. I tell you what, we've got a long passage of scripture here, but let's honor the reading of God's word. Y'all stand with me real quick, because I'm going to be reading in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. Luke chapter 24, 13, it starts like this. It says, "Now that same day," talking about the same day that Christ arose from the grave. "Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels whom he said was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses, on all through the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So when he went in to stay with them, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem." Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. Lord God, I pray that today you would be revealed to us in a fresh new way. Father, I pray that just like those two who had no idea that they were in for the conversation of a lifetime, Lord, I pray that you would meet us where we are. God, I pray that you would draw people to a personal relationship with you, Father, that your hope would be revealed today, that joy itself, Lord God, would well up within us, regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations. Lord, I pray all this in your precious mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, y'all go ahead and be seated, and as you are, just go ahead and shout, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, if you're here and you brought a guest and your neighbor just did that beside that guest, yeah, you got a lot of explaining to do in a little bit. That's good, guys. Hey, are y'all okay? Man. Oh, we kind of got off on the somber foot. Now, are y'all excited this morning? Look, you cannot believe in Jesus and still be excited you woke up this morning. Come on, let's be excited this morning. Listen. Today, I want to talk with you about how crazy, how quickly what you thought was going to be your life can just come to an end. The dreams, the hopes, the visions that you had for your life can somehow just derail so quickly. These two disciples, they were sad as they walked along that road. Their faces, scripture says, was downcast. When Jesus asked why, they were stunned that anybody wouldn't understand the sadness. They were shocked. They didn't get it because to them, it was their dreams that were dashed. It was their hopes that were shattered. It was their joy that had been exchanged almost for bitterness, for sorrow. In nothing but a moment. And it's in this situation that Jesus came to brighten their perspective. Not to change their reality. Jesus didn't come to change their reality. What he did was reveal a different perspective. Because the circumstances that you and I encounter in life aren't nearly as critical as the conclusions that we come to. Jesus challenged their assumptions. The problem wasn't what had happened. The problem was the conclusion they came to as a result of what it was that happened. Why were they headed to Emmaus? The party was over in Jerusalem. It's finished. What they had hoped for was crucified. It was done. In fact, three different times we see in Scripture, in verses 19 and verse 21, look at what they said. He was a prophet. We had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. Their hopes, their dreams were completely lost back in Jerusalem. So they turned and were running to Emmaus, leaving behind the sorrow and the grief. He was a prophet. We had hoped. He was going to. You see, they thought that their best was behind them. They thought Jesus, he had a lot of potential. Some of those miracles, that man, they were great. He was amazing. Too bad he died. And listen, guys, Jesus never belittled their hurt. This is so important. He never belittled their hurt. He didn't tell them that what they had experienced wasn't brutal. It most certainly was. Jesus never said the circumstances that they found themselves in weren't hard. He just said, you've come to the wrong conclusion about it. Come on. Look, whatever it is you're dealing with today, it may be difficult, it may be painful, but what conclusion are you coming to? These two were suffering under the weight of a story that wasn't true. They were living their lives under the weight of a story that wasn't true. Jesus was saying, why are you using the past tense? You're saying was, but I still am. Yeah, I did die, but now I'm alive. I wonder if today there's not somebody here and you've been using the past tense in your life. My family was, my dream was, my business was, my spouse, my marriage was. And Jesus says, look, I've got so much more in front of you than there is behind you. Your best days are still yet to come. You need to come to a different conclusion, even though your circumstances may not have changed. You need to come to a different conclusion, even though your circumstances may not have changed. I don't know. I don't know for everyone here today what you've previously been told, what you believe. But when Jesus was revealed, their eyes were opened to a life of hope. That's what revelation does. That's what the revelation of the resurrection does in your life. Their eyes were opened to a life of hope. And even though they had been following Jesus for the past however many years, they had been following Jesus. They had studied Scripture from birth. And even though in this moment he was revealed to them in a new way, helped them to see this same situation differently. And at this moment, their potential was unlocked simply by their perspective. Guys, as young Jewish boys, they would have grown up having memorized the Scripture, memorized the Old Testament. At least Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the very books that you usually quit reading the Bible over before you ever get to the good stuff. Memorized. And yet, look what they said. We thought Jesus was going to redeem Israel. Too bad he died. We thought he was the Redeemer, but then he died. All that to say, very simply, they ignored the fact that all of the Old Testament points to a Messiah who is going to redeem Israel by dying. All of the Old Testament points to a Messiah who's going to redeem you and I by dying. The very thing that they thought stopped Jesus from redeeming Israel was, in fact, the very thing necessary in order for Israel to be redeemed. These guys wanted the victory, but they didn't want the grave. See, that's not possible because of the price of sin. Jesus had to die to redeem us from our sin. He had to go through death on a cross in order to be able to wear a crown of victory. When we read the Bible, look, you and I, we have a tendency when we read the Bible to look at it primarily like for reasons to, God, today I need to be a better spouse. Open page and let's see what God says. God, I'm struggling. I need to know how to better manage my finances. What do you say? Open it up and we look. The Bible's not a rule book. We don't go to the Bible looking for new commandments that we have to keep or what things that we have to do. Because that thinking will always lead to failure and to heartache. That kind of thinking will always lead to you being downcast. But when you look at the Bible as God saying to you, here's my son Jesus who died for you. Man, it's at that point you realize it's not about what we can do, it's about what he has done. It's not about the works we do that make us righteous. It's simply about the work Jesus did as he hung on the cross. They thought he was going to bring them a kingdom. But had he brought a kingdom without first dying on the cross, they would not have been able to participate in that kingdom. Had he brought a kingdom like they were wanting, you and I today would not be able to participate in that kingdom. And now though, you and I get to walk in the peace, the power of the gospel, because it's not up to you or me to keep us saved. It's up to Jesus. It's simply up to Jesus, who already paid the price for my salvation. Look, don't think if I behave, I'll get saved. Rather, think I believe and so receive. And because of that, being a better husband, being a better father, not cursing out the idiots around me, those are the good works that I do. Look, not cursing people out, that's a good work. Calling them an idiot, probably not. That's probably not good. Those flow out of him having healed my heart. The works that I do flow out of him having healed my heart. I wonder if the areas where you're still angry or bitter are simply the areas you haven't allowed him to heal your heart. Jesus didn't come to make your life better. He came to save your soul. Fortunately, life is a lot better when your soul is saved. You see, when that power does its work on the inside, it's then that we see it start to flow on the outside. These two disciples on the road to Emmaus, once they realized it was Jesus and he vanished from their sight, they said, "We've got to get back to Jerusalem. We've got to get back there right now." Scripture says they rushed, they hurried. But notice, just moments earlier, they were eager. In fact, they urged Jesus not to continue. "It's getting late. You don't want to keep walking. It's dangerous." Look, remember, there's no street lamps. You can't pull out your phone and not stub your toe along the way. It's getting dark. And in that time, when it got dark, it got dark. And so the disciples, as it's getting dark, urge Jesus, who they see walking, "You cannot continue. You've got to come in. Stay with us. Tomorrow you can continue your journey." At that moment, they viewed travel as no longer possible simply because, well, they were uninformed. Once Jesus was revealed to them, they were given hope. It was then that they saw things differently. So much so, Scripture says, they left that very hour. Traveled the 7 miles back to Jerusalem in the dark. Hope gives you flight. Even though it was dark, they had a fire on the inside, knowing Jesus was alive. And so what was previously impossible now's no big deal. Look, never mind how dark it was, they're ready to rush back to Jerusalem. They had to let the others know. Hope. Hope will give you the power to embrace what you previously wanted to escape. Why were they rushing away from Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem reminded them of what was. There's where Jesus died. There's where my hopes died. Triggers about the pain that they had experienced. You and I can come to a different conclusion even though facing the same circumstance. They wanted to get out of Jerusalem because of the hurt. Now they couldn't wait to get back. You don't need to suffer under the weight of a story that isn't true. Guys, you and I cannot put a period where God's put a comma. Don't use the past tense when God is alive and has more in store for you. Damn. When you and I read the Bible, what I was getting at earlier, look, what we simply need to be doing is looking for Christ to be revealed in it. To look for what he's done and how that life, how his life can now flow from us every single day. When we read Scripture properly, what we realize is that his coming up out of the tomb, His coming up out of the tomb has everyday implications for each and every one of us. Just as him dying on the cross was paying the price for our sins, when he rose from the dead, securing resurrecting power, he gave each and every one of us that power to conquer grave, conquer death, conquer hell. What it meant was that you and I get to tap into Christ, his spirit, his presence in our life. The resurrection isn't a holiday. It's an identity. The resurrection isn't a once a year calendar event. It's an everyday reality. We're not meant to look back every Easter and sit there and think, oh, that was so inspiring. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, 2,000 years ago, you did it. That's not the point. Look, it's great. I want to rejoice in this day, but you and I, we're meant to be walking in the power of the resurrection every day. Parenting in the power of the resurrection every day. Going to work and talking to your boss in the power of the resurrection every day. Oh, even the boss part? Yeah. Yeah. All of it. You and I are supposed to be living every day like we've got the gospel inside, and that gospel has changed our lives. Woo, the good news. Easter isn't a holiday, it's our identity. When you really get that in your soul, the thing that you will watch be released into the world is joy. When you get the resurrection, what you will see released into the world is joy. Joy is the result of the resurrection being revealed in you. Not as a holiday, but as an identity. Joy is you understanding the resurrection, not as a day on the calendar, but as an ever-present daily reality. If you understand the resurrection, you will walk in joy. Jesus told his disciples this very thing. It was John 16 and 22. He was speaking to his disciples and he said, "You will also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you." So Jesus said, when he is revealed to me through the resurrection, it's then that I will be able to walk in joy. A joy that the world can't take because the world didn't give it. My joy comes from Jesus. My joy is inside of me. So death can only take me to him. Oh. I mean, I don't wanna. No. But I don't fear it either. He took that fear. My joy will never be taken from me. As I close, I'm reminded, when did the disciples realize who Jesus was? In verse 35, it says that he broke the bread, he blessed it, gave thanks for it, and he gave it to them. And it was then that they realized who he was. I wonder if during the walk, they just didn't notice. They didn't see. But then as he broke the bread and he handed it over to them, what did they notice? I wonder if maybe they didn't see the holes in his wrists. Blessing and brokenness go together. The bread was broken as he blessed it. Jesus was broken to bless us. I say that to help you see. I pray that you never assume that because your life is full of pain, that God isn't there. When you can see that even though he was taken from you by death, that now he is alive, it's then that you are opened up to live a life of joy. In Christ, you and I are more than conquerors. Scripture tells us our best days are in front of us. So whatever situation you're in, I'm telling you now, I'm telling you today, it can't get in the way of God's plan for you. God's plan, what is that? God's plan for your life is for the world to see your joy. God's plan for your life is for the world to see your joy. Mind you, that's joy in losing. That's joy in gain. That's joy in happiness. That's joy in pain. That's joy in sickness. That's joy in health. That's joy no matter what happens. That's joy no matter whatever it is that seemingly rocks your world. We still have joy. Because we're not going to give up on Saturday, scarred by the trauma of what happened on Friday. You and I must make a choice to stand on the power of the triumph revealed on Resurrection Sunday. Come on. As I close, y'all go ahead and stand with me. I don't want to end this opportunity without taking the time to just ask a simple question. Just on the chance that there's anybody here who's come in and never said yes to Jesus, that, or maybe they feel like they may have wandered. Or you're here today and you don't feel like you're currently walking in joy abundant. It may very well be that you've tried to do good things, you've tried to be kind, but you've been reading the Bible as something you need to do as opposed to something that Jesus did for you. Today, what I want to do is I want to invite you into the opportunity to ask him into a relationship. To invite him in. Look, yes, you have to invite him. Back in verse 29 says that Jesus was continuing on his way until the disciples urged him to come in. He would have continued. What's that mean? Very simply, it means that Jesus, who couldn't be contained by the grave, couldn't be stopped by a stone sealed, guarded by soldiers. Couldn't be held back by death itself, waited to be welcomed into their home. Today, he stands at the door of your heart. He's wishing, he's praying, he's hoping you would welcome him in. That's his desire. Ask me to come in. Another scripture, 1 Peter 1:8, it says this, because you believed in him, even though you do not see him, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. An inexpressible and glorious joy. So today, the invitation is to a life of joy. Not without pain, but joy that will thrive in the midst of your suffering. And through it, I can promise you on the authority of God's word. If you invite Jesus into your heart, Scripture says your sins are forgiven. You're given a new heart, a new life, an invitation to participate in his kingdom here and now today. Not somewhere off in the future, but today. Joy every day. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus, we thank you for the resurrection. A message of freedom for the captive, Lord God, of healing for the sick, of sight for the blind, Lord God, simply because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray today, Lord, that you would be revealed to us. Again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you want to turn from your sin and experience a resurrection life, I'm going to ask everybody here to pray with me in just a second, but I'd ask you specifically, if you would, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, just to give me a look. Raise your hand up and say, Corey, I want that prayer to be for me this morning. Amen. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Across this room, guys, if you'll please just repeat with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner and I can't fix myself. But I believe you can. Please come into my life. Make me new. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Come on, church, real quick. Give a big shout to everybody that held their hand up. The opportunity to welcome people into the family is an opportunity unlike any other. Lord God, we thank you for joy everlasting. I pray, Lord God, that you would use each and every one of us to reveal yourself to this world. Let us today walk from here, Lord God, in the joy of your hope. Father, I pray right now a blessing over these people. That the Lord would bless them and would keep them. That the Lord would make his face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them. That the Lord would turn his face toward them and give them peace. Father, we pray all this in the name of your Son, the beauty of the resurrection of that day. We thank you, God. Amen. 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 Guys, y'all have a very, very blessed Easter Sunday. Enjoy the resurrection and what it means for you today. God bless you.